on Cork Good Times.
Red FM.
All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour or so, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting action from the Rebel County as well as further afield. A close one we'll be keeping an eye on in the battle is between the Daisha and Limerick in Walsh Park. That one is just throwing in now. Could be huge consequences for Munster as a whole. But to Cork Manors, and we had this moment last night in Turner's Cross, courtesy of our very own Roy O'Hagan.
And Graham Burke is on. And play is back on. Oh, and chance for Cork City here. It's Anderson with the shot.
Yes! Anderson!
Yeah, City gaining a valuable point there thanks to Freddie Anderson. 1-1, it finished against Shamrock. And here's Rory speaking to City gaffer Tim Clancy after the game.
Tim, happy enough with that?
Well, yeah, I think we have to be delighted with the point. I think going behind early in the game, look, it's a shot from the edge of the box that hits the post, and you pray for a bit of luck and it goes straight to Rory Gaffney. Look, he's not going to miss from there. It's a brilliant finish. He had another chance just after that to went over the bar, and then look, we pushed ourselves a little bit in the first half. I think after maybe the last 15-20 minutes of it, we got a press a little bit better. You have to accept against Rovers, they're a very good team, that you're going to have spells out of possession, but I thought we were. We worked tirelessly, and I thought second half then, I thought the energy levels the lads showed, and the commitment and everything else, it was a really good second half for us.
Like, Shamrock Rovers had a lot of the ball in the first half, but they never seemed to step up the gears.
No, look, and again, look, they got ahead in the game, and then they do dominate possession in quite a lot of games, but you have to be disciplined and you have to be comfortable not having the ball, and when you do win it back, you have to try and carry a threat. And look, I thought second half we need to shoot more from around the edge of the box. The goal comes from a shot that takes a deflection, and then I think Harry Nevin keeps it alive, and then Freddie Anderson gets a great strike on it, and we got the point.
Has he done that in training? Have you seen that from him before?
No, look, I think Fred hasn't played the last few games. I spoke to him last night about only more aggression out of him. I thought he was excellent tonight. I think that's his best performance for us. He was making contact, he was winning his headers, he was getting close to people, he was getting his foot in, he was nicking in front, he passed with a purpose. And look, you're not putting him in the team to strike a ball from outside the box like that, but we'll take that when it comes that way as well.
You looked the more likely team to get the winner there near the end of the game, but you were leaving gaps to the back then as a result.
Look, if you look at the chances in the game, I'd say their expected goals are going to be a lot higher than ours. I think TT made a few good saves second half, but the pleasing thing was, even after we scored, we didn't just shut up shop and try and get a draw. I think we went for to try and get a winner as well. And look, maybe another day, I think Evan has a few shots to whistle just past the post, and Cahill has one free kick that goes past the post, and but no, I thought Evan was excellent. I thought Cahill again, fantastic. Decision making, his strength, his burst of pace, his intelligence. Yeah, look, it was a really good performance.
And for Matty Kieran to come in and put in that level of performance just shows you how good a player he is.
And look, we spoke about that as well. I know a big loss, he's been excellent this season. It's been probably frustrating for Matty, but he's doing the leaving cert, so his education is his main priority at the minute. But again, he played tonight, he was superb. It wasn't a worry for us. We know how good Matty is, and again, he'll get better and better.
Big game to come on Monday. Are you happier straight back into it, or would you prefer another few days off to rest up the bodies?
Look, we're down bodies massively. Kit Nelson pulled up in the warm up as well, so for him to get 90 minutes out of him, he had to go in and get extra treatment. That wasn't ideal, but yeah, listen, we're down loads of bodies. But look, we showed there tonight that we're a fit team, and the lads have a brilliant attitude.
Thanks, Tim. Well done tonight.
Cheers, thank you.
Rory also caught up with Shamrock boss Stephen Bradley.
How would you sum up that game?
Look, it's another game that really should be over at half time. The chances we had in the first half, and they're really, really good chances, really clear chances. We should kill the game in the first half. We don't. And when it's 1-0, the opposition are obviously always in the game, and they were, and they got the goal.
I said in commentary a couple of times, it felt like you'd another couple of gears to go up, but you never quite did.
No, that's the disappointment of the second half. Like I said, first half very good. Game should be over. Second half, we were just okay. And like I said, when it's 1-0, they always have a chance, and that's what happened.
What are your thoughts on the goal? You can see that Henderson strike from the edge of the box.
It's not that. Sometimes that happens. It's the referee getting in the way of the player.
Is that why you were all talking to Matt at the end of the game?
Yeah, Matt Mahady's just about to control the ball, and the referee walks into him and pushes him over, and then they're on the attack, give out a free kick, and it comes from there, like, you know. So that's the disappointing bit.
So you felt the referee should have stopped it and dropped the ball, is it? Or?
Oh, most definitely. I think I was only watching the game the other day, and it happened, and the ref stops the game and gives the ball. It was quite clear, you know, and It was, he needs to stop the game.
So it's just one of those nights, basically, for Shamrock Rovers, isn't it?
Yeah, look, like I said, well done to Cork. They stay in the game. It's 1-0. When it's 1-0, they're still in the game, and they always have a chance. And then they kept going, and they score from the edge of the box. But like I said, if you don't take your chances, and it's 1-0, the other team always has a chance.
And Team Troostov made some good saves for Cork City.
Yeah, he did. Like he did in Tallaght, to be fair to him. But again, some of the chances we got were easy chances for us and for the calibre of player that got them, and we need to be more ruthless and finish them off.
You happy now you've got a game on Monday to get straight back into it?
Yeah, again, we'd be fine. Sligo, I think they drew tonight, so it'd be another tough game like they all are in this league, and we'd be ready again for Monday night.
Thanks, Stephen. Stay up to phone.
Thank you.
That was that from Turner's Cross last night, but Cork City women's team are currently in action in Turner's Cross at the moment at halftime, down a 1-0 against Bohemians in their SSC Electricity Women's Premier Division clash, but hopefully their fortunes can change. And in keeping with Cork football, ahead of the Cork Super Cup coming to a Super Value Parky Keeve in the summer, Cork's very own Adam Eda spoke to the lads from Off the Ball.
There you go. Adam, congratulations on another title win at the weekend. How nice was it to be in the score sheet again, get another brace, and to finally get the league title over the line?
Yeah, it was amazing. Obviously, it was a bit of a strange for me coming on quite early. It was unfortunate what happened just there, but for me, yeah, to get the 2 goals was great. But I think overall, to win the league was amazing. You know, it's one of the reasons why I came back to this club, to win trophies, and to do it then was a fantastic, and overall the day was amazing. Yeah.
I suppose as an Irish player as well, does it mean something a wee bit more special as well to win trophies at such a big club like Celtic?
Yeah, 100%. I think when you're growing up, since you're a little kid, all you see is Celtic. You know, it's one of the first football clubs that you see. It's everywhere back home, and being a supporter since such a young age, and then to actually come over and win a trophy for the club is amazing. You know, I've come last year and won trophies, but to do it again and to win trophies in a short football career is amazing.
And I suppose you're going to come back to Cork, back home in July. How nice is it to get back home and also bring your current team as well, your Celtic teammates, to Cork City?
No, it's really exciting. You know, I think it was 2018 or 2017 was the last time I played in Cork. You know, we played against Turkey for Ireland, so it's really exciting for me to go back home, and especially to come back with Celtic. You know, it's crazy to think to be going back to Cork and playing with Celtic, so it's really, really looking forward to it. And I've already told the lads, you know, the stadium we're playing at is going to be fantastic. It'll be a great day.
Would you like to see the national team go down to Cork as well, down to Porky Cueve, and maybe move out of the Aviva Stadium? Would you like to do that maybe one time?
The Aviva Stadium is quite historic, and it's obviously our national stadium, but who knows, if there might be a friendly game down there, it'd be quite cool. But I think the Aviva obviously has something special to us. You know, when you're a kid watching Ireland, this stadium you always want to play in, representing your country. So I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, and I suppose the international window is coming up again in June. You scored the winner last time out against Bulgaria. Yeah, nice little cup in the air to the fans. Was that to the who did you aim that gesture towards, or maybe it was to no one?
No, I've seen stuff on social media. I had a couple of messages that I've seen, so that was my thought process straight away. You know, I was getting some, not abuse, but I was getting some bad messages, and I was just to prove that people are wrong. And yeah, I think people thought it was at the fans in front of me or to the manager, but it was nothing like that. It was just to let people know that I'm not messing about. You know, I'm here to score goals and I'll do a job, and that's all it was.
Well, keep proving the doubters wrong. All right, Adam, thanks very much for your time. All right, take it easy. Thanks very much. Thanks.
Brilliant stuff from Cork's own Adam Eda. But let's also hear from Wicklow's Liam Scales.
Liam, welcome back to Dublin. It's always nice to get back with Celtic, back to Ireland and see the home country once in a while.
Yeah, definitely. It was a lovely day as well, so it's a good day, but no, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I suppose you're celebrating probably a league title win there last Saturday. How much does it mean to get that title over the line and to win another trophy with Celtic?
That's massive for me personally and for the team. You know, that's what we set out at the start of the season to do, is to win the league and to get it done quite early. It's brilliant. But we need to sort of stay focused now for this next couple of games.
Yeah, I suppose as well you have had a couple of injury problems throughout the season. Is it nice to be back and playing a prominent role? You started the game on Saturday. Is it nice to be back playing in amongst it again?
Yeah, 100%. I've had sort of an up and down season where I've been in and out. And, yeah, I've had an injury to my jaw, so it was good to get over that and to get back in and hopefully stay in for the rest of the season. That's obviously the goal, is to play well and to continue. Need to do well.
Massive game on Sunday against Rangers. You've lost the last two against them. Does it mean a lot now to both the players, the staff, the coaches and the fans to put things right on Sunday?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We never want to lose games, and obviously it's a massive rivalry, so it's a big one for us and for our fans. But we know obviously the league's won, but it doesn't matter to the fans or to us as players. We want to go and win that game, and that's the way those sort of games are.
What's it like to play in those sort of type of games? I can, as media or fans or different people, like, there's probably nothing that, you know, we could experience that ever would ever come close to an Old Firm derby.
I suppose it's you prepare the exact same way, but like the first few minutes of each game you're sort of breathless, you know, it takes your breath away a bit. Those big games, like Champions League games, are playing against Rangers home and away. It's sort of the adrenaline kicks in. The first few minutes can be a bit of a whirlwind, but once you get into the swing of things, it's okay.
Yeah, first touch, first pass, first tackle, after that you're feeling okay.
First header for me as well.
And as well, just, you're going to come to Cork now during the summer. How much will it mean as well to see the fans come out and support you, as you had a big pre-season tour last year in America, so a lot of fans coming out to see you. How nice will it be to get to Cork and to get to a full Porky Queeve?
Yeah, it'd be brilliant. You know, it's always great to play in Ireland. We played in Dublin a couple of years ago in pre-season and I really enjoyed it, and it'll be a different experience now in Porky Queeve, and I can't wait. You know, my family will be there, friends will be there.
Yeah.
It's good to play in front of Irish people as well.
Yeah, and as well, Shamrock Rovers, your old club, they've had a bit of a mad cap start to the season in the League of Ireland. Do you still follow when you're over in Scotland?
Yeah, definitely. I follow. I watch most weeks, and if I don't watch a game, I'll always watch the highlights and sort of stay in touch with the results. But it's been a bit of a mad start for me.
Yeah, do you fancy them to challenge the league title again? Or?
Oh, definitely they'll challenge. Yeah. 100%. They'll be up there. They could win it. You know, they'll be wanting to win it. I know what sort of club it is there, and I know who's in charge. Obviously, Steve Bradley, who coached me as well. I know still a lot of the players I played with there, and I know all of them will be desperate to win the league title back, especially after last season.
Yeah, and there might even be one or two of the players possibly in an Ireland squad in June. Do you think maybe some League of Ireland players could get into an international squad?
Well, for me, as a former League of Ireland player, you know, I would have loved to have been part of an Irish setup as a League of Ireland player, but I suppose it's not my decision. But I know the quality is there, because you know, there is brilliant, brilliant players in the League of Ireland.
Well, very best of luck on Sunday, and best of luck for the rest of the season. All right,
cheers.
Thanks, Liam. All right, all the best. Cheers. Thank you.
From soccer to a bit of hurling now, and Cork had a comfortable win in the minor hurling last night against Tipperary and their Munster clash in Park Hearing. The Rebels winning out 2-17 to 1-12 winners. And after the game, our very own Ger McCarthy caught up with Cork minor hurling manager Fergal McCormack.
Fergal, first of all, congratulations. The campaign has been very positive up to now. How difficult, or was it, to motivate the players tonight when you've already got to a final? Did you get the attitude and the performance that you were looking for?
Well, I think, to be fair, I think coming into it, I don't think there was any complacency, and everybody was ready to go on to rock and roll. But the performance was as poor as we've played all year, and disappointing, but there's so much to work on, which is great. We're still in the championship and you've so much to work on, so that's exactly where you want to be. And we'll have a look back at the video and analyse things and see what we could have done better. But I just think it was error ridden across the board, and you know, we've a lot to work on, and but you know, we're once the final 2 weeks time, and we'll be going hammer and tongs for that as well.
There were some positives as well. I mean, the goals, the chances when they arose, he took them at vital times. They weren't pretty, but it doesn't matter. It's great.
No, look, come here, a goal is a goal, and it doesn't matter what way you score it. There were other opportunities, I think, to get the ball up in our hand and take it on a few times, and we didn't. And, you know, we were just lax a few times on their players around the pitch. And it just, for me, it was a difficult watch. It was something that you just kind of say, yeah, we got the victory, got the win, we're still in the championship, we move on, and we try and play better the next day, really, you know.
Yeah, it's odd to be in the position that you're in. There, I can sense that obviously there's frustration with not going the way you would have wanted it tonight, but you've got time to work on those things, I suppose, and that's key as well. Going into a Munster final, the fact that it's 2 weeks away, you know what you need to work on now.
Yeah, well, look, I just said in the group there afterwards that there's, you know, we've played 4 games with 4 victories, and if we were back in January, we thought we'd be in this position, we'd be very, very happy, you know. So, and also not to be a killjoy, like, you know, if we're, you know. Grand, I'm a big boy, I'm around a while, like, you know, these guys are 16, 17 years of age, they're playing with the Cork Miners in 2025, and have the 4 wins in the trot, so let's celebrate the victories as well, and plot and plan for the next day, and we'll be ready, we'll be rightly up for it.
Congratulations, the best luck in that Munster final.
Thanks, Gerard.
And he also caught up with the Tip Minor Hurling manager, James Woodlock.
James, obviously disappointment, but what we saw there tonight, we've got some serious talent in that panel, the Tipperary panel, so it's frustrating maybe as this campaign has been. There is still a bright future for a lot of these hurlers.
A bright future, absolutely. You know, it's probably the hardest grade to manage at Intercounty, because you're dealing with a new crop of players every year. You're not bringing in, you know, players that have been there for the last 2 or 3 years and trying to add to it. You're bringing in a whole new crop every year. It has been a frustrating campaign. It has been a disappointing one. There is no doubt about when you don't progress in Munster, it's disappointing, but that's the margin of Munster Championship Hurling. It's a brilliant when you're winning, it's awful when you're losing, but there's fantastic teams out there, and we needed a bit of luck along the way. First game, like, we were 4 points down, no, 3 points down at half time against Waterford. We turned around and we got 8 points on the trot 15 minutes ago, 5 points up, and missed a goal chance and let them back into it, lost it, and in the next two a point each again. So, like, we were knocked out of the championship on 5 points this year. You know, that's how tight the margins are, we had to come down here, which was a difficult task to try and get the players to come down. But you know, I'll never manage a team that ever puts the white flag up. You know, at the end of the day, we have to come down here, we're playing for the people that are in the stand, their parents, their friends and so on like that. And the management team have put a huge shift in. We've done no more so this year than we've done any other year, and we got the success other years, didn't get it this year, but there is no doubt about it. There is players that we have here that will go on and represent Tip at 20 and senior level. 48 months ago in 2022, yeah, we won the All-Ireland against Offaly. 5 of those players now are playing Tip Senior Hurling. 2 of them are starting, 3 are on the extended panel. Yeah. That is how close that dressing room players inside are to making that step up. Yeah. You know, and I am positive that players on this panel will come through, but it has been a learning experience for them. Yeah. That when you get ahead in games, you have to close it out.
Yeah, and you could see that in the attitude tonight. You talked about the players, the kind of players that you have on this panel. Like, it would have been very easy to throw in the towel coming down here with nothing necessarily to play for. But the goal was a setback, but you fought to try and get back into the game.
Yeah, look, they fought the whole time. I probably thought the one down here, I was a long way away from it. I'm going to call it as a square ball anyway, because but look, it is what it is. And then we made a mistake for the other goal. That's 6 points, we lost by 9. We hit 5 frees wide, you know. It's just that when you've nothing to play for, it's really difficult to come down, bear your pride, and for the people in the stand. They did that, and look, at the end of the day, I think we have given 24 players championship time this year. That's great development for them.
Well, the best luck in the future, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, a short first half done, but plenty, plenty more to come in the second half, including a Cork versus Tipperary senior hurling dissection. Don't go anywhere.
The home run.
With Tesco, feel the power to more.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour or so. Now, only 2 weeks ago, we had the very talented Ella Ryan in studio to play for us live her new song for Cork GA, unnamed at the time. But before we go full circle, let's listen back to the original interview as a quick reminder. All right, we're delighted to be joined here by Ella Ryan. on Cork's Big Red Bench. Ella, where are you anyway, first and foremost?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
No, the pleasure is all ours. The reason you're in here, of course, I've seen online, it's going fairly viral in Cork GAA circles, if not GAA circles all around the country, of your cover of the Kingfisher song Killa.
I don't even have a name on the song yet, would you believe? So maybe that's something that we need to sort out or try and figure out on a poll on some social media. Maybe you can do it on Red FM, or I'll do it on my own LRI music page. But yeah, it's a cover of Killa, and it's all about the Cork Rebels.
How did that come to be? How did you go, okay, this is going to be the song now, I'm going to do a cover for the Cork Hurlers on?
To be honest, it was a notion. I'm a huge Kingfisher fan, and I heard Killa originally and I loved the song, and then it wasn't until it was leading up to the league final that I got the idea that, you know what, wouldn't it be great if I edited the lyrics and made it about Cork, that everybody in Cork City and County could sing along for our Rebels. I was envious of those in Killa who got to sing for Killa, and I was like, hang on here a second now, let's like open this up to everybody.
It would be
Cork.
A great Cork song anyway, but they say the green and white eyed door, and with those Limerick villains wrong, it's not going to happen now at the moment.
Yeah,
anyway,
controversial, just need to make that about the red and white. But look, Killa is a beautiful song, and you know, now Killa people have one version for Killa and they have one version for Cork.
Kingfisher themselves even acknowledged it as well, did they?
Yeah, that was class, to be honest. It was amazing. I think the song had only been up a half an hour, and I got a message on my Instagram page saying, "Savage up the Rebels." So I know one of the lads is from Wexford and the other guy is from Limerick, isn't it? So controversial too, you know. But look, Killa's a Cork song, so I think it'll be fine. Hopefully they don't mind.
And normally these songs kind of come out towards the final and everything, but how come you just went, all right, before a ball's even thrown in, basically, you were like, I'm going to get this out?
Well, not to reflect too much on what happened last year, but I just have a feeling that this year has to be our year. Okay?
We've been saying that the last 20 years.
I know, but like, there's a reference in the song about jersey pulls, and not to get too much into it, but this is our year.
The Clare lads be ringing out Ofcom about us now.
Well, you know what I will say? I've had a number of people from different counties in Ireland message me saying that, you know, I have had one Kerry man in Dubai, a guy from the Banner County, a lady from Mayo, all say, jeepers, it's a great song, and they'd love it if it was written about their own county. So people are still acknowledging that it's a beautiful idea. So you'd never know, maybe I'll do one about every county, but I'd severely doubt it, because look, let's just focus on the Rebels winning this year.
And what's the reception been like from the Cork GAA community? If a few, even the hurlers have seen like the video anyway.
Yeah, like gas, like I'm just looking at these guys that I am seeing playing hurling, who I'm like, they're just incredible. Like, the team are just incredible. I just think hurling is just gone. It's crazy, crazy brilliant sport.
And look, you know, the hype train's already left the station when their song's been written about it, you know, before championships even started, really. Do you think this is our year now?
Oh, there's no question. Come on. There is no question. Look, I really hope that it is our year. I think the lads, Pat Ryan, the whole panel, the team, everybody behind them, like, it's not just about this year. It's been building for so many years, you know. And I think the idea behind Kingfisher song Killa as well, even on their video, it shows a little clip of them playing hurling from such a young age. And it, like, this song and sport and Cork hurling, it's for all the girls and boys that go out and play hurling on Saturday mornings and blitzes and being a part of something. So 100%, I think we all need to get behind them. And if I can sing them to the All-Ireland final, and if I can sing them lifting that Liam McCarthy Cup, then that's the part that I'll play.
Well, hopefully Cork GAA rowing behind you on that front. Lastly, before you play the live version for us, give yourself a plug. Where can people find you and find the song ultimately?
I'm actually on TikTok, believe it or not. You can catch me online on Instagram, TikTok and Facebook as Ella Ryan Music.
Are we allowed to give away the big scoop that the track has been officially studio recorded?
Yes, you can, yeah. I'm still waiting to hear the final mix of it, but a good friend of mine, Conor O'Sullivan, and Tony O'Flaherty are working on that as we speak, so I can't wait to hear it, and will be available to stream on all social media platforms, etc, etc.
Stuff will take us away.
From the fields of the Glen to the banks of the Lee, from the hand counsel my father came the hurley to me. All I keep in my heart is the burning belief that the rebels will rise with the Cobb McCarthy. We will rear 'em and tear 'em, avenge 24. Hoggy leading the charge like he's done times before. Tura-la, la 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 la. For the red and the white we adore. For the rebels to rise evermore. From the SARS to the bars, Newtown, Shandon, the park. The boys and the girls, they will shout through the dark for Pat O'Ryan and his army. They will fight to the core. No more Jersey pulls, time to settle the score. We will rear 'em and tear 'em, avenge 24. Hoggy leading the charge like he's done times before. Tura-la, la 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 la. For the red and the white we adore. For the rebels to rise evermore. When my boots have been hung and my early laid down, bury me in my jersey, in my rebel hometown.
Ella Ryan, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
up
you.
The rebels.
Up the rebels.
And we have indeed come full circle, as for the first time ever, we're going to get to hear the fully recorded version. And let me tell you were in for a treat. It turned out so much better than my already high expectations for it. And it has been given a name. Rebel Rising is the name of the song. So it's now available on all music streaming platforms. So search for Ella Ryan and Rebel Rising. And lastly, enjoy the new Cork GAA anthem in all of its glory.
La 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 la. in my rebel hometown.
And hopefully it'll be playing in Croke Park this summer, but we're a long, long way off yet though. We support our own here at Cork, so be sure to stream it where you can. Search for Ella Ryan Rebel Rising on Spotify or wherever you stream your music from, and give her a follow on her socials at Ella Ryan Music. Now, back to the serious stuff. And Cork Ladies Football captain Sarah Leahy spoke to Roy O'Hagan at the launch of Super Value's sponsorship of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship.
There, first off, the Super Value deal with the GAA, it's fantastic, and you see Super Value over your jersey there as well. They've done fantastic work with the GAA.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just the visibility and the support, it means so much to us, and it makes such a huge difference to the girls and the team.
Talk to us about the year you've had so far.
So we were delighted to get to the league final and to be, you know, promoted back to Division 1. That was one of our biggest goals this year. Obviously we were unsuccessful in the final, but you know what, we learned so much from the game, and you know, going forward to Championship, it was probably the best preparation that we could have had. It's coming together nicely, and we're happy with how it's going so far.
What was the biggest takeaway, I suppose, from that defeat to Galway, and what do you have to work on?
So I suppose we had a great first half, but then, you know, things declined rapidly then in the second half. So, you know, I suppose just to be consistent and, you know, not to let the game run away from us.
I suppose you had 6 wins in 7 games, so you must be happy with the way things have gone overall, I guess.
Yeah, overall, yeah. No, it was quite positive, you know, and every game we learned a lot from it. So we've got that bit of confidence, I suppose, going forward now. So far, so good.
We heard Hannah just speak inside there about this Cork team. I suppose it's a new panel, and I suppose there's a bit of a bedding in period, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, new panel, lots of, you know, younger girls, newer girls to the panel, new management and stuff like that. But I think the league has been ideal for us to get to know each other, to bond, and for the group to continue integrating, you know, on and off the field. So it's been going quite well.
Joe Carroll, in the aftermath of that defeat to Galway, said you need to bring the game to the next level. What does that entail for Joe?
I suppose that's just, you know, intensity at training and stuff, and, you know, to replicate the kind of match intensity at training as well, so that we can get used to it. And obviously, you know, Munster Championship is so such a high standard, so it's just getting up to that intensity, I think, and pace.
And it's a big job as well for Joe in rebuilding this panel and getting them up to All-Ireland standard, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Joe has experience with a lot of us, you know, underage and, like, with college. He trained UCC for two, three years now. So it is a big job, but so far so good. You know, the group is really happy, and there's a really competitive but positive environment at training.
Obviously the Munster Championship is underway. Defeat to Kerry, not ideal for the opening game. No. But what did you learn from that game?
Well, it was actually the other way around now. We had a poor first half and a good second half.
Let's combine the two. So,
yeah, if we could combine the two going forward now. You know, there was lots of positives, but obviously we conceded, whatever, 111, and, you know, we were struggling to score front in the first half. But we improved in the second half. It's just trying to get that now for the full game.
Yeah, what are you expecting now from Tipperary this weekend?
So we've lots of experience playing Tip, so we know it's going to be a challenge. Obviously we're focusing on ourselves, and, you know, based off our game against Kerry, so hopefully now we can just get a full, you know, 60-minute performance out of the team.
I suppose it's about getting the support of the Cork public behind you as well. That's always a massive help.
Absolutely. There was a big crowd at our Kerry First Championship this week, and it makes such a difference. You know, the girls were even saying, you know, that boost coming on at half time, it does make the difference, you know, especially when you're coming back from, you know, being, you know, losing the game. It does make a huge difference for the morale and, you know, the boost that we needed.
Yeah. And for yourself as captain this year, how are you finding that role?
I'm finding really good. I'm lucky that I've trained under some fantastic captains with Cork, and, you know, I'm really close with all of the girls, so it's quite, you know, they're making that bit easier for me, but so far so good. I think just to keep it positive as possible, and ensure that everyone's happy.
And would you be one now for big speeches before matches, or are you kind of just more letting people out?
Think, you know what, we've so much leaders on the team, so I like to I suppose hand around the speeches, but I do enjoy a good talk as well, and the girls, you know what, everyone's quite good at communication, so I think that's important.
Fantastic stuff indeed. What would be a good summer now for Cork? What would be a good year?
I think, you know, obviously we have the aim, that like our dream to win the All-Ireland, and you know, I think coming together as a group and, you know, getting those strong performances out are really important. Take each game as it comes, but overall I think it's going quite well.
So thank you so much, best of luck for the summer.
Thank you so much too.
I can tell you the latest in Walsh Park in the clash between Waterford and Limerick is it's Limerick's 15 points to Waterford's 10, and that's at the half time point there. And also audio just has come in from the Munster Minor A final. Cork have beaten Kerry on a swapping scoreline of 5-18 to 1-5, so Cork win that one by 25 points. So a huge congratulations to our Minors Munster champions. And Rory Noonan of the Echo caught up with Cork LGFA Minor manager Kieran O'Shea after the game.
I suppose the first question we have to ask is, what did you say to them at half time? Because that was some second half.
Yeah, look, I suppose, look, we had a few choice words at half time. Look, I suppose it's a Munster final, the girls are small but nervous and stuff. And, you know, we just said to them that we didn't want any regrets coming out here today. And we knew what the girls are capable of. Look, there was a bit of a wind out there and people kind of underestimated it. We knew it wasn't going to win us the game, but we just needed to tighten up a small bit at the back and, you know, just keep things very simple in the front. We were probably, our passes were small but going off in the first half and probably a bit too narrow as well, so just adjusted a few of those things and thank God it kind of came through in the second half for us.
And obviously to keep any team scoreless in a half is a major achievement, but then to add 4-13 at the other end at the same time, it really just was a perfect day almost in the end view.
Yeah, I suppose, look, I've been in opposite scorelines to that as well myself, and sometimes, you know, it's hard, like, you know, when the momentum's with a team, you know, it's hard to break that, like, you know. But look, as I said, there was a fantastic display of Kerry there in the first half, and I suppose we got the lucky breaks there in the second half and we kind of kicked on from that, you know.
Maybe at half time did you feel that maybe momentum had slightly swung their way, they had got the last couple of scores, and would you have had a little bit of concern about that at half time?
No, we weren't. We were actually calm enough at half time. We said to the girls that we weren't worried. As I said, we had our game plan and we stuck to it, and we knew in the second half that wind was a bit of a factor, you know, so there wasn't panic or anything inside the half time, that's for sure.
I suppose that early goal in the second half probably set them into that half and they drove on from there, really.
Yeah, that was it. And I think, you know, a couple of things we said to the girls at half time, they stuck to it, and sometimes, you know, on these big occasions stuff, people kind of go back to their old habits, you know, things that they're always doing, but we kind of explained some stuff we've been doing with training, working on, and in fairness they came out in the second half and they stuck to it.
It would be unfair really to pick out any individual player, because this was a great team display right from the goalkeeper. She made one or two important saves right all the way through the full forward line. Like, it would be unfair to pick anyone out really, because it was just a magnificent team effort.
Yeah, look, I couldn't pick out somebody, to be honest. I mean, all over the park, every single girl in the second half, they just drove on, and that's what we kind of said to them at half time, to have no regrets, and in fairness that's what they did.
No doubt you'll enjoy celebrating this, and then you've an All-Ireland series to look forward after that.
Yeah, look, to be honest, there's a lot of, it's been a very, very busy few weeks, you know. There's, I mean, last week alone there was under 200 championship, there was minor league games on, you know, there was adult league games on. I mean, these girls are, you know, they're out every night of the week, and it's very hard to prepare then sometimes when you've got that much of activity coming up. So, you know, look, we're going to take a bit of a break now and the girls can go back to their clubs for a while, and then we'll reset again and go out and get training for the All-Ireland. But it, you know, as I said, we're just glad now to be out of Munster and looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there. Huge congratulations to our LGFA Minors getting a huge, huge win over Kerry. And now, earlier in the week, Rory caught up with Galway footballer Killian McDade at the launch of the Super Value sponsorship.
Killian, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Good to meet you. I suppose, first off, the Super Value partnership with the GAA, it's fantastic, and they've had a tremendous, I suppose, association with the association over the years.
Yeah, 100%. You know, they've a very good relationship with the GAA, and look at signs around here and the beautiful Super Value Park we've today.
Have you played here before?
No, I haven't. Yeah. No, I've been, we played a league game here last year, or no, 2 years ago, sorry, but I wasn't playing, so.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just looking back to that Roscommon game, what pleased you most about that performance?
I think from start to finish, it was just an all-round good performance. You know, I think we did well on kickouts, didn't have many turnovers, you know, took right options in front of goals. Defended pretty well, you know. All round, we're happy with it. So yeah, it was a good. It was, you know, second game of the championship. So it was good.
What do you need to work on, do you think?
Still everything, I suppose. Yeah, like there's lots to work on. Look, every day will be different, and the competition will be different every day. So, you know, no doubt Mayo will play a different way to Roscommon. So look, the parts of the game will still be the same. You know, basics, like I said, kickouts, turnovers, all that stuff. It's just trying to do it better every day, I suppose.
It's your 10th consecutive Connacht final. That shows you the standards that have been set, I suppose, in Galway football.
Yeah, I think look, I'm not sure if anyone on our panel has probably been involved in all 10, but in the last couple of years, you know, we've got a good team together, a bit of consistency in our team, so we just kind of beat what's in front of us every day. And look, we've been lucky that winning games each year has kind of got us this far. Yeah,
you obviously know Mayo quite well and intimately at this point. What impresses you most about them as a team?
Mayo, very, very hard teams to play against. Very high pressing, high energy, some very good forwards, a mixture of speed, physicality. Like, they have it all, you know. Like, they're top of Division 1. Have been on the business end of most championships over the last 10 years themselves. So there's a lot of good parts to their game, and they'll be very difficult to beat this weekend.
It's not hard to get motivated to play them in a Connacht final, though, isn't it?
No, look, they're probably one of our biggest rivals in Connacht. I think we all, look, we've rivalries with every team in Connacht, but we kind of seem to play against Mayo a lot, so yeah, they're a big rival.
How much is, I suppose, the pain of last year kind of motivating and pushing you forward to this year?
It is, yeah. Still, look, we lost the final, obviously, so that's difficult to deal with. But you kind of play that, and you review it, and you park it, and you move on. And look, there's plenty of games around the league this year even that disappointed us how we performed. So we're still, you know, every day you go out, you're just trying to perform better than the day before.
It's obviously the first year with the new rules. How do you find them?
Good. Yeah, it's open the game up. I think they're doing what they're supposed to do and whatever wants them to do. Look, we've embraced them. Just get on with it. And each time, I suppose, a new update comes out or something's changed, you just have to adapt and get on with it to stay competitive with the best teams out there.
What's been the biggest change, you think? Which one has had the most impact?
I think keep three up, I suppose, is the best thing. Look, I think every team in the country was guilty of bringing everyone behind the ball if you're trying to defend the lead, and why would you not? So you just kind of have to, you know, you have your 11 players behind the ball or outfield players, and everyone's just trying to figure out the best way to defend a lead, I suppose, late in the game. So that's been exciting, and you pick up learnings every day from every different team. So that's been a challenge.
Is there anything you'd change?
No. I think it's been pretty good so far. Look, I wouldn't have thought of some of the rule changes they've brought in. Even like some of the respect and the dissent rules have been excellent, and they probably slipped under the radar at the start. Everyone was focused on what happened, you know, in play with the players. So that's been great. There's nothing I change. I don't have the imagination for it.
We're obviously speaking here before the draws made for the All-Ireland Championship. I just spoke to Jamar there, and he was saying it's a wide open championship. There's so many good teams there this year.
Yeah, there is. Look, I'd say there's 10 or 12 teams that think they can win the championship. You know, we've been that team a couple of years ago who were in Division 2, making it to a final. Armagh the same, and Dublin the same a couple of years ago. So look, there's nobody is out. I think, you know, you're going to need a little bit of luck along the way with selection or form or injuries and stuff to stay up there. But no, I think everyone thinks they can win it, which is great.
Clean on the ball. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thanks very much.
And Rory also caught up with Cork dual star Hannah Looney.
Hannah, how are you?
Good, not too bad now.
Good to see you. It's a fantastic day here at Super Value Park in Cueve, and a great day to see Super Value extend their association with the GAA.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic, and it's brilliant to have it down in Cork rather than up in Dublin and Croke Park. So great to get all these faces down here, and as you said, a lovely day for it. But yeah, I think Super Value are just such a huge sponsor, and you know what they hold so value to them is that community includes everyone, and you know, that's what the GAA is. So I think the GAA and Super Value just go hand in hand together, so it's great to have them back on board.
Yeah, you're speaking there in the panel about being a dual player, and I suppose you're one of a dying breed now at the moment, so how are you finding to combine the two, and how are you finding it this year?
Yeah, like, you know, people ask me that a lot, or like, why do I keep going back or whatever, but like, it is just genuinely a love for it. You know, like, if you're an outsider looking in, it might be a lot easier to just pick Camogie and go with that, because that's more successful at the moment. But you know, I really do have a love for football, and a love for, you know, I suppose football would have been my first sport growing up in Ahada and whatnot, and you know, just a real draw for the team. And you know, there is the potential there to win in All-Ireland, there always is. So you know, it is challenging keeping the two on the road, especially with the split season and the condensed fixtures, but you know, Joe, Carol and Jer working together, and you know, if we can just keep it going and keep fit and healthy
and avoid fixture clashes as well, which would be ideal.
I know yeah.
You're going going for three in a row in the Camogie. You spoke kind of very openly there in the discussion about wanting to win that three in a row and how much it's driving you on this year.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's personal opinion. Maybe I should keep it to myself, but it is something that I'm after, and it is something that's important to me to win three in a row, and it does motivate me and it does drive me on. Other people will have different aspects or different views or different motivations. Other people will want to talk about it. Other people won't want to talk about it. But at the end of the day, I'm talking to you here about it, but I won't talk about it again now till August in the camp. As I said, you know, for us it's every training session, it's every championship match. You know, I think this year especially, like the last couple of years, the competition for places is just out of this world. So if you're not training hard, if you're not putting in the work on off the field and on match day, you're not going to be a part of that team. So you know, that's my first protocol, is to keep on that team, to be honest with you. But it is something that's very important to us, and if we keep going after it, look, hopefully we'll see what'll happen in August.
I was going to say there's a big tag on your back going for three in a row, but there's a tag on your back regardless. I mean, like, you went in as the All-Ireland champions last year as well.
Yeah, it is, and like that's what probably does that. That's what comes with being from Cork, I suppose. You know, or the successful teams that have gone before us. So, you know, it is a lot harder when you're the person being hunted. You know, it's a lot easier when you're trying to get there, but when you're on top, and staying on top is also always the hard thing. But at the end of the day, when we go training, we're not thinking about that. We're thinking about how we can be better as players, how we can be better as a team. And as I said, you know, the competition is so fierce inside the camp that you can't really worry about what's going on outside.
You spoke as well in the panel about, I suppose, the two panels being in separate places, the Cork kind of Camogie team more established going for All-Ireland titles, whereas there's a rebuilding process going on with the footballers. You spoke to Sarah there and she said there's a fantastic buzz though in the Cork ladies football panel at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It is a great camp, and like, you know, whatever about, you know, going back to Jewel, I wouldn't be there if there wasn't a good camp and a good support system and good players and good people, because whatever you win, whatever the success is, at the end of the day it's the people that you do it with. So it is, you know, as I said, we are really, really hunting rather than being hunted, as I said, in Camogie. But I personally think the Ladies Football Championship is wide open. So there's a lot we have to do. There's a lot we have to learn. There's a lot we have to get right. But if we keep going on that buzz and keep clicking together, you know, who knows what will happen at the latter end of the championship. And I firmly believe we are all Ireland contenders, and I wouldn't be there if I didn't believe that.
Yeah, it was a good league campaign, 6 wins out of 7. I know you came undone against Galway in the final, but still a good start to the year.
Yeah, it was, and look, it was challenging being in Division 2. I guess, you know, you want to be in Division 1 playing against the best teams, but look, the target was to get back into Division 1, and we did achieve that. So I think the real work starts now. Champion football, the best teams, like, look, we lost to Kerry last weekend. You know, there's a lot of changes, a lot of injuries, a lot to work on, but you know, I think we'll build from that and we'll go again. If we can get a win against Tipperary, that'll be great. That's our next focus, you know. That's so good. It's always looking forward.
And we're here at Super Value Park. What's it like playing here?
Yeah, it is. It is a great experience to always play here, and I think we're extra privileged in Camogie this year. I wouldn't say privileged. I think it should be standard that we're playing here, to be honest. But it is. It's fantastic surface. It's a fantastic ground. My big call out would be, could we get more people in seats and supporting us, and, you know, call out to Páirc Uí to and the GAA to make sure that we're playing here as much as possible. You know, we were playing, let's say our football game was down in Clodagh, which is a fantastic setup, a fantastic place, and we do train there, so no complaints on that end. But, you know, let's play in Páirc Uí, let's play in Páirc Uí Ring as much as possible.
Yeah, because if you're playing in the best of facilities, there's no reason to say, oh, sure, I couldn't go down to Clodagh to watch the game. But like, if you're here at Super Value Páirc Uí, then more people will come.
Yeah, hopefully, and like, let's promote it. And, you know, I suppose, like, if I'm being honest, if you look back at, you know, we did have a double header, Cork v Clare, first round of Munster Championship, and, you know, it is still disappointing to see, while there is a good crowd there, but there's people who are coming in after the match, or people who you might meet coming out of the stadium that are like, oh, gee, winner, how'd you get on, you know. So it's like, look, it is what it is. I'm not going to fix it here. We're not going to fix it here. But, you know, I suppose if there's a message to people, just to encourage, you know, if you've daughters, bring them to the Camogie match, not just the hurling match, bring them to the football match. Because
it makes a difference.
It does make a huge difference. And it makes a huge difference, not just for our team, but for the development of the game. So, yeah.
Excellent, Hannah. Thanks very much. Best of luck for summer.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, and a huge best of luck. Trailing out a new segment here on the Big Red Bench, and we're not hearing from the players or managers. We're going to the completely unbiased Cork sporting public for my new series, Dan with the Fans. Well, it was great great to be back in Super Value Parky Quay for the Munster Senior Hurling Championship clash of Cork and Tipperary, where the Rebels ran out 427 to 24 point victors. I took out the microphone after the game and there was no Pat Ryan or Patrick Horgan for me. I was even luckier as I got to catch up with my old pal Ray Lucy, a man who's been following the Cork Hurlers since he's first All-Ireland in 1966. A man never shy for a comment or an opinion like the rest of us here in Cork. Plenty discussed in this one, from the Tip review to the Limerick preview, but if you're from the Ennis Tourism Board, you might want to switch off now. Enjoy this week's instalment of Dan with the Fans. Ray Lucy, the Rebel from the West, what do you make of that one?
No, poor old Tip. No, they've fell for the blunder in the first second, I say. Cockwell would have beat them anyway, but I think they're motoring nicely. You know, we got caught last week in a battle there.
But that's exactly it. Clare are a Tip today, tried to catch us out in the same battle Clare caught us out in last week, and they got punished for it at long last.
But you can get caught out with Tip, but Tip will try and hurl at you anyway. But I think today was a performance we could have been testing more, you know. So
absolutely. Where do you think this leaves this Cork team now, coming into the game against Limerick in the Gaelic Grounds?
In a good shape. I'd just be worried about Downey, number six. That's 2 weeks in a row. He's injured, like, you know. So I don't know, was it a belt of the nuts or something? That's what he was holding.
Was Seamus clanking out again, was he?
Seamus is training up the players tonight. But anyway, look, I'm very proud of that Cork team, as I said before. I think Cork going forward have a great chance, like, you know. The style is unreal, you know. Other than that, like, we have a bench this year.
Are we going to get out of Munster?
Well, I think we're in the right position to do so,
we
you know.
3 points after two games, yeah. Too bad.
I think there's a difference of 16 to 18 points scoring difference already. So Waterford are next to them plus something, six, I think. Cork are about 16. Mm-hmm. You know, so that sounds arguable. No, if they all end up the same points, the points difference is where they're hitting that one anyway. You know, so
where do you reckon this leaves us for the Limerick game, in what, 3 weeks time? Is it 2 or 3 weeks time?
I love going to get up against Limerick. This is a battle, but I think Limerick had their day. I hope I'm right. No, seriously, but I think Clare had their day.
Yeah.
They won in Ireland. They should have never won it. We threw away, been answered. We can give out about the jerseys. I said to you on the interview last year, I think this Cork team is... No, we made a mistake last week. You got a man sent off. But I think they learned them lessons. And Cork, Pat Reno, I think they all panicked last week on the line on Ennis. And it's not a nice place to go to, actually. Just hurling people up here, the stewards, they're doing stuff with their clubs. And it's great. And then you see behind the two terraces. I haven't seen that for years. Last year against Limerick, the other match we had here early in the league final, the crowd was unreal. We had again 42,000. I said last year we had 50,000 in Rubberg, like, so anyway.
All right, the last one I'm going to leave you with, is this the year Cork win the All-Ireland?
Oh.
The toughest one of all.
The toughest one is they're in a good position. They have the panel. They have the skill. Just balls out, you know, they're passing their movements. It's unreal, like, you know. Mm. But as I said, we have to keep doing it, like. We can't just turn up on Ireland and say, oh, we're having an Ireland run. You can't let a Clare fella like Tony Kelly taking 20 steps on us.
No.
We can't let a fella pull in the jersey. We give it back.
I think that's the difference in this Cork team this year. I think we'll give it back a bit more.
I saw the odds in there towards the end, and we were, what, 12, 15 points up and getting ticked with your man, and rightly so. It's a joy to play the Cork.
Yeah.
And I'm travelling up north from Ballyhorn, and I love it. Yeah. I love it. Hurling is in my my first Ireland 66. The great children of Kathy Capman.
Huge thanks to Ray Lucy, but better known as the Rebel in the West, for his time. We still have plenty more Cork GA fanatics to meet on Dan with the Fans. Well, what a show. There's only one way to end it, and it has to be with the new Cork GA anthem. It has to be Ella Ryan's Rebel Rising. So be sure to go stream it wherever you can. Available on all music streaming platforms. Enjoy.
From the fields of England to the back.
from the stars to the